welcome to the last episode of the WXV1 series, the inaugural autumn competition. We review the Wales-Australia game, fling around the clubs and find out what's going on, who's playing, and some other news in the rugby world. But it's quite an emotional episode. Join us, it's all on the pod. I can't sit down, Carol, I feel sick. Okay, we've literally just moved from our sofas to the podcast. Wales have just finished their last game in the XWV1. They just lost 25-19 to Australia. We've jumped straight on you. We haven't even had a chat yet and we pressed record because we want to feel this emotion. Your face, I don't know if you're laughing or crying.
A bit of both, I think. That was such a tough, what an ending, to the game, and so, so close to, clinching it. Oh, it was
amazing. Hang on. Give me three words that describes how you're feeling right now.
I am excited. It's 8 a.m. in the morning and I'm what? Three words. Do you know what? Passionate. We came back in that and I don't think of a third one. I'm just excited.
Yeah. I think I go with gutted. Oh, frustrated. Oh, yeah. Fuck. And also, I feel sick. I somehow managed to get some coffee in. It was the fastest game ever. You know, normally you can chuck a kettle on or jump in the fridge and get a beer when the game is on. But there was just no moment in that.
Yeah, there was loads of momentum swings. Yeah.
Composure.
She's sat down now.
Yeah. Composure. Okay. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. What a way to start a day.
I know. I'm still sweating.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Let's get some kind of order in place for anybody that's listening to this. But anybody that's watching it will know exactly how we're feeling right now. Okay. So, like I said, Wales just lost to Australia 25-19. Incredible game. Cass, summarise the whole thing for us.
Oof. Summary. So what we wanted to see was a chain, like more impetus and stuff like that. So the defensive effort in that first half was amazing. Held out Australia. They were attacking. They had a lot of the ball. So for that first kind of 15 minutes, then they scored a try. And then all of a sudden, Wales stepped up another level to be able to proper rattle them, attack. Georgia Evans caught a ball off a bomb from the free kick that we'd awarded from the scrum, which was just amazing. Put pressure on them with line out, kick to the corner, line out, and then we get a Karis Phillips try from that. So it's just, you could see the momentum shift quite big in that first half, which is amazing. And then we finished the half, I think, at 7-8, and we were building. There was a couple of opportunities for us just coming into that half. And then halftime happens, and then it all happens for Australia. So they get a red card. I didn't catch the number. Was it number 6? Yeah, they did a high tackle on Jazz Joyce. Luckily, she's 6. Okay. She came back on the pitch after a HIA. So big opportunity for us. And then we get a couple of kicks to the corner. Shaggy George putting loads of pressure on with her crossfield kicks. One wing, Lisa Neumann, we build pressure. Then we do another crossfield kick to the other side and we get a maul, a line out, maul, penalty try. Bish, yeah. Bash, bosh. Yeah, and then from there, it kind of, Australia get a yellow card there, so they're down to 13 at that point. Yeah. So, the momentum's definitely in our favour in that bit, but Australia managed to get it together, and Carpani, who scored, who played so well against France, managed, they messed up their maul, but she managed to just run, pick up the ball and run through a couple of our players to score and then put a bit of pressure on. They then... last little bit, they then scored their backs are scored and we're down to 70 minutes, 10 minutes to go. And you're the game's gone. And all of a sudden, we step up again and it's brilliant pressure. I think we're down to 14, 25 at that point. And we got, 6 minutes to go. And we managed to score our try and then kind of put pressure on that last bit. So at 80 minutes, we were on the line. We had a line now. We've had so much success from it already. And we just managed to get pushed back, and then kind of the maul pen basically against us.
Oh, you just made me relive it all over again. Oh, the trauma.
It just so shows much dominance in that line out though, and the pressure that we can do with that. Oh, one thing I did miss, a classic, amazing 50-22 from Lakey George to put us in that field position. It was like, we're under the cosh, we're losing in that game. And what you want is your 10 stepping up and going, okay, let's play down in that corner. We've had so much success from our maul. So that was phenomenal.
100%. There's so much to unpack from that. You just give us the best summary ever. My heart rate's gone up another 30%. There's loads to discuss. Let's break it down. You just finished with Lakey's 50-22. Let's talk about Lakey George. Her kicking is like a box of frogs, and then you're not quite sure what you're going to get. It always offers some kind of threat. Early in the first half, they had a penalty just outside the 22, and she puts an up and under up. And incredible. I was like, no. And then I think it was Georgia that caught it. Was like, and you're like, yeah, great option. And her crossfield kicks, this is something that we haven't had in our game before. It's so exciting. There's so many options off it. So,
yeah. And I'll also add, like she's using the crossfield kicks because they're options, because the defence have been sucked in, which is brilliant. Mm. But also, she's trying to get the ball like a couple of times, not as many maybe this game, but like the flat passes or over the head passes kind of thing. So just add in huge variety. Like, you don't know what she's going to do. And you can see her scanning constantly, like looking for those options. And to score that try off that penalty try, she'd done one crossfield kick to the right-hand corner, Lisa Neumann on one corner. Then we had another crossfield kick as we were building the pressure there for Karis Cox to put pressure on. And it was decided it wasn't a try in the end. But you can just see us putting pressure on constantly. Like the winger defence has to work really hard.
So much vision. Let's go back to that try that wasn't a try. What do you think? Was that a try?
I think so.
I thought it was a try. Oh, I was up. My coffee went everywhere at that point.
So for those that might not have seen it, it's basically it was a crossfield kick, pressure on the winger, Australian winger to catch it. She misses it, and then it's anybody's to play for, basically, to in the hustle and bustle, and it's on the floor. It's on by Karis Cox's foot, and she puts her hand on it. I think it's a try.
It's a try. All day long, that's a try. I'm not sure we'd be saying the same if it was an Australian try.
Yeah, no.
No, but seriously, I was convinced that was a try. But there we go. Some strange calls in that game. But it's not for us to judge the referee. Let's talk first off. Let's talk penalties.
I think that's the one area that probably will go away from the WXV is you're playing harder physical teams. You want to compete, but you've got to be smart with it. Mm. Like, you're giving away penalties, especially around the 22 meter, or letting teams get into the 22s. It just kind of kills the momentum and feeds them. And also, I said this back in the Canada game, but kind of getting penalties when we're attacking, like the ceiling over kind of, or like rucking over, like a couple of those, and for me that's when we're like building that pressure.
Yeah, and you just lose all momentum, right? Give easy ball to the opposition, so that's frustrating. I lost count in the second half how many penalties there were, but we were well over 10, I think, probably up closer to the 12-13 mark.
As soon as you go into double figures, you're just giving them 10, 12, 13 opportunities.
Yeah,
definitely.
So yeah, So that went against us. What went for us is that at one point Australia was down to 13 players, and you're thinking, this is it. Surely now we are on the verge of history. This is the opportunity. If we're going to take a scalp, it's today. They got 13 players on the field for 10 minutes, and then in that 10 minutes, Australia score. And you're just like, what? This game is just chaos. I don't want to say what went wrong, but how did we not capitalise when we're 10? We'll come on to the fact that we were 14 up for so much longer than that. From 41 minutes onwards, we were 14 players against 14 players. But for that 10 minutes, we were against 13 players. What went wrong, Kat?
I think it's just around territory penalties. You know, we let them get a little bit of... not necessarily they played, they just played smart in the if we gave away a penalty, they'd kick and keep the ball, like put pressure on it. And like fair play to them. Like they didn't even execute that line out 5 meters out. Like they dropped the ball, but they, you know, perseverance to actually just pick it up and like Campani, just stick it up the jumper and miss tackles from us. So somehow that felt like that actually Australia galvanised a little bit during that period and came together and was like, we're not giving them the ball back if we gave away a couple of penalties. So then it was like, it feeds into them rather than us putting pressure on them in our attack.
Yeah, they definitely did that. They definitely, you said the term played smarter, and 100% agree with you. Their game management, especially when they were under so much pressure with 13 players, was just smarter. So their Campani try came from, you know, Wales had a penalty. I think it was just outside our 22. Kiki George boots it downfield. We get a line out and you think, okay, composure here now. We're in the right area of the field. They got 13 players. Let's control the game. We overthrow the line out. Australia go on the tack. And, you know, they win a penalty just outside our 22. So we flip the game around. They kick it to the corner, 5 metre line out, bit of a fumble, but they score. I mean, that's just clinical, right? They're down 13. They want to be on a 5 metre line, having a line out. That's just gifting them opportunities. So it was a little bit more that smarter rugby, especially when they were down players from Australia, that I think just, unfortunately, they locked us out of the game.
Yeah, and you know, I also kind of would like to see, like, we utilised our forwards so much in that game, so much. So, can, like, obviously, like, the liner went wrong and stuff like that, but actually, like, down to 13, can we, you know, the mall's such a threat, can we actually utilise some of our backs in that attack as well? I'd like to see some of that in our game as well. Coming into it.
Yeah, I think when we were 10 minutes from the end and you're like, oh, squeaky bum time by you now, we need something. You know it can come from the forwards. You know if we can get down there exactly what Licky did, drill it into the corners. You know, it's a safe bet that we can come away with something from that roll, that line-out maul. But when we're further out and you're looking at the backs, you just don't know where the threat's coming from. You don't know where the opportunity to score is coming from yet. Is that what you're leaning into?
Yeah. I think, you know, that's one thing from the WXV, like, moving forward, looking forward to the Six Nations is probably actually, how can we, now that we've had a mall game for a long time, like, and it scores us tries. So, you know, don't go away from what works really well from us. But, like, game management-wise, if we've got 13 players, like, we want to be playing in those corners, but actually there's going to be space on that wing, quite a lot of space. So that's, for me, opportunities for our backs to get into the game, I suppose. Blucky got her opportunity today, starting at 12, which is brilliant. Hannah Jones, like, we've seen her scoring phenomenal tries. Jazz at 15, again, like, she had a blinder of a game, like, really good game. Like, her tackle tech is insane. Like, for anyone, like, anyone aspiring to, you know, be a back or a full back, you know, when she first started, they were saying that she was too small, and now she packs the biggest punch. And her tackle tech is insane. Like, it's brilliant. Getting those people more, like, it's awesome to have the variation with the crossfield kicks. Like, you can see that stretches. For me now, the next, like over this kind of winter period now, is building in into our back attack as well.
Yeah, so exploiting and creating space on the outside, but it doesn't always need to be a crossfield kick, I guess, eh? Like, use our hands, let's see what we can do. But let's see what they can do over the winter. Let's see if we can progress that into the Six Nations. I'm not even going to pretend I'm a coach. I don't know how they're going to do that. So let's talk about composure. Is Australia played smart? Did you think that Wales played smart?
Yeah, you know, I put that down as an area to focus on. Like, what I absolutely loved was the intent. In those first, 10, 20 minutes, it was like Australia were banging on the door, attacking, constantly. Like, they didn't kick it away. They wanted to play the phases, and we were just defending, like, sublime, like, double tackles going in, putting pressure on the ruck. Like, you could just see the mindset of it, and it was relentless in that first kind of 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and it was just, awesome to see.
That first 20 was a period of the game I picked out for that perfect word, wasn't it? Relentless. Australia just kept coming, and Wales were just like, no. Yeah. And for the first 20 minutes, Wales missed 12 tackles, give away 5 penalties. Australia got into the 22 once and come away with 5 points. And you're like, you're watching it and you're forgetting to breathe at some points because you're just like, oh, no. But it's a last-ditch tackle, bodies on the line. Wales' defence was relentless. And to keep that wave of attack from Australia out and just, starve them of an opportunity. Credit to them, when they did get an opportunity, they took the 5 points. But, Welsh defence was massive. And there was a couple of questions after the first game about Wales' fitness. And I think we've just seen that over the last two games in particular. Just they have got it. Obviously, it will improve as we go into the Six Nations. But, the fitness they had in the game today and what they still had in their legs, incredible.
Yeah, and, going from the Six Nations camp, I think, just gone... Like, the sports science people were saying that actually the stats are saying that, like, we're running higher meters in the second half, our intensity, our speeds, like, we were putting records in the second half. So, that just shows that you're fitter, stronger, kind of, and can play at that level. Like, 100% is something that, Johan Cunningham, Avion, the SNC guy, the head of the SNC guy, has totally focused on, and to be playing at higher level. I know I keep saying it, but it's basically the same game, but played at higher intensity and faster. So you've got to be able to stay in the game fitness wise. Otherwise, it's a blooming hard shift then.
And that 25-19 scoreline feels brutal given that they'd lost players during it. But, closing that gap next year, another year with
100%.
The fitness.
Well, you're going to do burpees with them, are you?
Do you know what? I've got to get fitter because I can't keep watching this game when it's so close. My heart rate can't take it.
And I think that also was it. It was momentum shifts. So you're going back to your point about game management. There was loads of momentum shifts. Like, it was like Australia's on the attack in that first bit. Then Wales came back with awesome kind of pressure and even more, like you said, the bomb from Shaky, putting pressure on. Then a line-out maul, and Karras getting that try. It was like back foot. Then we get a red card straight away after half-time. And you're like, oh, blooming heck. We've got an opportunity here. And Wales took it. Fantastic. Then they get a yellow card and it's like penalty try. You're like blooming heck, we're proper on. And how Australia managed to, like you say, like the penalty give it away and then they kick to the corner to get the line out. And there's a couple of things, like when we do score, it's like the composure of the reset of it, of like, it's easy to do, like, oh god, I've done it, before, you miss the ball on the restart kind of thing, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, like, and then they're in the 22. Similarly, we want to kick, we want to make sure that it goes 10 just to put that pressure on. So just those kind of game management, but those are things that those players are well aware of, and it's like you know, it's not, it, they practice it all the time. It's just kind of actually mindset wise, just being in the game.
Hmm. Let's briefly bring it to Australia. Credit to them. They're improving, aren't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Gosh. You know, that win against France last week is going to galvanize them, I think. You've definitely seen an improvement in them. Their backs are, you know, you're worried when they get the ball kind of thing a little bit. They're quite elusive sidesteppers. But yeah, no, you can definitely see that they've built. Like last year, the game in the World Cup was kind of more, I don't know, like we were playing, but both were kind of nervous playing in some ways. But you could see today, actually, both teams wanted to assert themselves in the game, put pressure on.
Yeah, very different styles, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, gosh, I'd love to see the forward stats from us today, like the carries.
Australia's ability to play wide, get the ball, especially in the first half in particular, to get the ball into that 5-meter channel and try and expose us on the outside. And then they do that from hands and running lines, you know.
Yeah, no, they don't give the ball away that much. They don't kick necessarily that much. So they, you know, they are kind of utilizing their backs and much more and using the wing.
Yeah. As much as it stings, there was a period where Australia rugby wasn't looking good. So it's good to see that Australia are bouncing back. They're building something. Wish it wasn't against us, but if we got to play a part in another nation's development for the good of the game.
But they're actually a really good indicator for us. Like, you know, they're in fifth place, we're in sixth. It's actually a really good indicator for us. And what I will say, this is the third game consecutive international. You know, we've blooded players in throughout the tournament and we haven't dropped, like, we've seen them grow, but we haven't dropped off from it. Like, from that game today, we haven't dropped off from that. Like, I loved how we've stepped up in our defence. And our variety with our kicking game.
Yeah. You talked about markers there. Another marker for us is, I guess there's two stats from, you know, the legacy of Wales playing Australia. We've played them 5 times. We haven't won any. We've come so close. So close.
So many times.
And the highest we've ever, or the most points we've scored, the most points we've ever scored against Australia was 12. Thank you, BBC Sport Wales, for sharing that stat with us. And that was in the 2010 World Cup. You played in that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so we played in that game where we managed to get a record 12 points against Australia. So in terms of those two markers, obviously we're now 0 from 6 against Australia. And we scored more than 12 points.
We did.
So how have we, in terms of head to head?
Yeah, this game for me was definitely much closer comparing to some of those games like from the past. This one, I feel like we're bubbling. Like, I feel like there's just, and maybe, you know, I've been in the squad, so I feel like we've been, you know, but like, I feel like there's we're in the messy middle. We're so close, and it's like, And it was so close, right? We could have easily taken, well, not easily, because we did, I shouldn't have said that. We could have easily taken. I just mean, in that 80th minute, it could have gone either way, right?
Oh, it was on for me. Put it in the corner, it was on for me. I think nearly every player bar the 9 was in that mall.
Yeah, I know.
I was in that mall. I was pushing my telly. Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't have the emotional IQ for this right now. Carry on.
I don't know where I was. I was in the mall. but from, like, I feel like that game, they'll be so disappointed that we didn't finish that game, probably. Like, but it, as a marker, it's definitely that, you know, I'm excited. I think in the Six Nations, have we got Scotland first? I think so. And, like finishing that game now, you're like, oh my God, I'm gunning for Scotland. Like, Scotland's Scotland have just won their WXV2, so the tier below. And they've always been like, they've been growing the last few years as well. So that's like, oh, I want to play that game tomorrow.
I know, right? So sidebar, you talk about the games. I was looking at the fixtures yesterday and I'm trying to remember. I think we got Italy first.
Oh, okay.
No, we got France first, right?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can't remember. Apologies, listeners. We're very emotional right now. But either way, I wanted to call a sidebar because just like on a whim yesterday in the build-up to this game, we just bought tickets to or flights to Ireland to watch the Wales-Ireland game. It's obviously Blues home, isn't it? So me and my mate got pretty excited in the build-up to this morning's match, booked tickets, then realised we just randomly bought tickets to Dublin. We didn't even know where the match is. So that could be an adventure, a lesson learnt. But yeah, three home games in the Six Nations, Pa. And
yeah, I'm right. Wales v Scotland, 23rd of March.
It is there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting confused with the men's fixtures, which is the warm-up to the women's Six Nations.
That's it.
Yes, 23rd of March, you're right. Arms Park. That's a lovely kickoff. That's 4:45 on a Saturday. Yeah. That's lovely. I remember looking at the France game and thinking, isn't it like a Sunday?
Yeah.
You're like, come
21st.
On.
21st, yeah.
Like, there's no buses back to the valley on a Sunday. Like, trains are limited. Come on. Anyway, we'll come on to the Six Nations next year. Next year. Overall, then, let's try and reflect on the WFV1. What a great commitment from World Rugby to put this championship, this tournament on. I think it's incredible for the women's game. You mentioned it on the last pod. It's not about, you know, having friendlies that don't mean anything. This is highly, highly competitive rugby that we're exposed to now twice in a season. We got the Six Nations, and in the autumn we got meaningful, competitive, highly, I want to say competitive again, but that's overkill.
Like elite standard, right? It's
that's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Yeah, no. And it is, like, you know, it's been a challenge in the men's game, like around getting tier two teams, like we've seen it with the Rugby World Cup, like tier two teams wanting fixtures.
Yeah.
And the more fixtures you can get, competitive fixtures you can get, the more that you can kind of, you progress faster. So the WXV, like in the women's game, we don't have to replicate the men's game. Like we can, God, you can just think outside the box. And that's where this opportunity of this WXV, like well done World Rugby, because it's not just this tier now where the Wales are playing in the top six. Like you've got WXV2 and WXV3. So you've got all these 18 teams playing against each other. And like in WXV2 and 3, there's relegation and promotion. So it's like, you can see your progression, like those teams can see their progressions, or they can, it's a competition that they weren't having before to get any fixtures. And for Wales, like we're guaranteed to be in the top six, like playing against these teams, like that's such quality games. Like, so, and you've seen it, we've bedded in, you know, new players have gone on tour out to us, out to New Zealand, sorry. Like Kate Williams, you know, I thought she played well today. Meg Davis at scrum half. We've got new caps, Nell Metcalf, Karis Cox. Blucky was in today at centre, you know, and Karen came off the bench kind of thing. So, like, the Abby Constable, Keris Hale, like, you've got to, like, as well as kind of building your starting 15, like, you've got to build the depth. And that's where these games really give those opportunities. I know it's competitive, but you're letting people have opportunities at competitive games.
I guess how this is different is in autumn, traditional autumn internationals, you will have that easier fixture where you tend to bleed new players. But these girls have just been thrown in baptism of fire, right?
Yeah.
This is intense rugby.
But do you know slightly where the difference is? Is our training is at match standard or even higher match standard. So, like, it's never the same. Games are never the same. Like training's never the same as games. But So they're training at this level and now they're getting that opportunity. Yeah, like you say, like baptism of fire. But like, we're in professional sport now. Like, that's what, like, that's your job. Like, you know, how exciting that you've got, and all this coverage, like, it was brilliant. ITV covering it, SVOC covering it. Like,
oh, let's mention that. I was watching on ITV, on SVOC Click, because I like to dysgu Cymraeg pan fi'n gwylio rygbi, diolch yn fawr. But apparently ITV turned off. The game was on, it was getting close, like that manic last 10 minutes. The game cut off and they went to Good Morning. People were raging.
No way!
Yeah, and obviously not everybody got SVOC Click. Not everyone in dysgu Cymraeg. So they was raging on Twitter this morning. I do love Twitter on a Welsh Women's Match Day, mind. It's so emotive. There's so much love for this team.
Yeah.
Everybody, it feels like everybody just wants to join in the conversation, be part of this team's growth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You are. Like, you know, we are. Like, because we're all so passionate and we want people to succeed. We want the squad to succeed. That's really disappointing to hear, actually. But I was on SVOC, same as you, so I wasn't part of that. I got to watch all the magic in that last play.
We put a shout out on Twitter if anybody wanted to share their emotions with us. So we've got some comments that have come in. Joe said, Wales are building, more to come from this team. There's so much optimism around this team. I love it. She says, we just need to temper their energy and retain discipline. The wins will come. Some quality playing players, and they're competing with the top teams in the world now, where they belong.
We back
that, right? She also says, please do a live podcast at the Women's Six Nations. We're barely holding it together right now. And we're like half hour out from the game by now. So can you imagine us doing something live? I love the idea of it.
I'm keen though. So if there's any, you know, venues or anything like that, clubhouses that want to host it, why not?
Let's do a pitch side on match day.
Oh, there you go. Blooming egg.
Yeah. Oh, Kate's come in with, I second her pleads for the podcast. Being live at the Six Nations. You guys are crazy. You're trying to get us offline. Oh, I just had another one and I'm not very good on my phone. I'll find them in a minute. Will says, how do you have the emotional energy to do a podcast right now? So many people rode that wave with us this morning.
Well, you'll get to hear the chaos.
John says, not a good result overall. Up against 14 players for the whole second half. Australia have made big improvements, while sadly Wales have not pushed on. Do you agree?
No, John? I don't agree, John.
He did so. Caveat though, love the podcast.
Oh, nice. Thank you. No, I definitely think, like, we've definitely seen improvements. Like, that performance this year, today, compared to last year's game. Different scenarios because of the World Cup and stuff, but there was a lot of pressure riding on Wales today to put a performance in, and I think that we actually met there and very close. Very close.
You could probably relate to this. Matt says, I feel sick, so I can only imagine how the squad feels.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, God, you put your body on the line. Like, and like, they should put their heads held high. It's an opportunity missed, 100%, and they'll be reliving that. You know, the messages around discipline will be all week based on, like, previous games and things. So that'll be a big part, big learning.
On that discipline, like we said it in the Canada game, we said it in the New Zealand game, and we're still talking about it now.
Yeah.
Like, I asked you, being fresh out of the squad, what are you going to be working on? And you said, oh, discipline for sure. They're going to sort out those penalties. And I'd have to suggest, on the evidence provided, Carol, that you were wrong.
I'm sure that they've worked hard on it and the messages have been really strong on it. There's a little bit of, you know, around game management, like, what can you go for and what can't you go for? Like, is it better to not give a penalty away, but not challenge the ruck, for example, or release the ball so that actually you can rely on your 13, 14 players that are out in your defensive line. You trust them to make that next tackle. So it's a little bit on that smart play. It's like, I can affect this ruck, but it's like, well, actually, you're going to give the penalty away. So then that's 10 meters back or whatever it is. So that's more kind of, I'd say, a little bit on the players to learn those lessons and really think about. And I'm sure in training they're hot on it, like, you know, blowing the whistle and stuff and giving those pens out. Like, we do so much scenario based stuff that it's like it'll be drilled into them. Like, they know it themselves.
Got another message here saying, and you'll have to answer this because I don't understand what happens in this tight play.
You're in the second row.
Yeah, but you know, you're in there, you're so tight in there, you just don't know what's going on in the second row. So anyway, Robbie asks, why no yellow for the mole getting collapsed at the end?
Yeah, interesting. Well, she said it wasn't collapsed by Australia, I think. But she'd given that yellow in the previous one, and I thought it was quite similar. So the difference in this is we were going forward to start with, but then Australia managed to get their shove on, and we went backwards a little bit in that. So
we did get over the line, right?
It felt like
we were over the line. My arms were already in the air. I was celebrating. And then all of a sudden, this second push from Australia just brought us backwards and into the field of play again. It's just unbelievable shift from Australia. So is that a succinct answer for Robbie, do you think?
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie.
So there's one thing I want to mention. So I was like, at some point deep into the second half, I was like, we need our leaders to step up now. So we had the likes of Seanid, Karen on the and Butchers on the bench. So it's like, you know, let's get them on to settle the team and add some composure, some experience. You know, that these players have been there, done it. We'll have cool heads. So if you know, we're obviously building for the future. If our traditional leaders are on the bench and the new wave of players are starting, who are we looking to be our next leaders? Experienced players, cool heads.
Yeah,
I can't believe I just put Sean Ed in the cool head bracket.
Well, do you know, she did come on and I think we had a pen and we were working towards that line out. So I did see her having a little like breathe, like, you know, and in the air going, you know, this is what we got to do. Keep it simple.
It's the experience she brings, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, who do you want to bring on at that point? Who can score tries? Who's shown time and time again that she can score tries out of, you know, and create opportunities? So definitely. What I would say, you know, Beth Lewis, Georgia Evans, Kelsey Karras, like, you know, the spine of our scrum, and they lead our lineouts. Abby Fleming. You know, I thought our defensive line-out pressure was awesome today. Like, it didn't feel like Australia really got that much clean ball. And, you know, those examples. Hannah Jones, like, she does it by being on the pitch. Like, that's her style. And I think Clakey will grow into that. Like, she loves managing the game. She loves watching the game. Like, so you back her decisions. And she's not necessarily the loudest person on the pitch, but you back her. Like, you know, that 50-22, blowing heck. Like, you've got to lead. Like, that's you leading in a different way to put your team in that position. And you know what? I think also Jazz Joyce, like, she's so passionate. Like, she understands the game and she's got so much flair that she gives direction and confidence to the people around her. So we've got people, and it is a skill. I'll 100% say it's a skill. You've got to practice and grow into it. And in training scenarios, we change it around. You know, they change it around. The coaches change it around. So it's like, right, yellow card to Georgia Evans or Beth Lewis. So it's like someone else has called the lineouts. Abby Fleming, you know, leading the lineout and stuff like that. Similarly, we're 5 points down. what are you going to do? We're in, you know, we're in the half. What are we going to do? Those kind of scenarios in training, just to kind of develop the leadership, because it is a skill you've got to practice.
Yeah. You mentioned Georgia there. She's really coming on, isn't she?
Yeah. Just, her defensive work rate is brilliant. Like, she went for a couple of intercepts today, like arm flailing, like as she's in the line kind of thing. But as well as that, like in the tackle, like she's physical and a bit of grr. I love a bit of grr.
A bit of grr, yeah.
Well, you can see from her face after this tournament. You know.
This kind of leads us into a question we've been asked by Kate. We're talking about like the future leaders of the game and the future of this team. So before we come on to that, Kim says, just gutted for the girls, you know, lots of emotional emojis. She's so Welsh and proud. Bless Kim. I think we feel that as well. But Kate says the Six Nations is going to be huge with lots of emojis. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I'm like, I want the game tomorrow. yeah. But I think that's the other beauty of WXV, right? Like, you're not waiting year on year for an annual tournament for the big physical internationals. Yes. Like, yeah. You're like, every 6 months, we've got something on the plate that people want. Like, people are waking up at 6 a.m. to, you know, to be watching rugby and supporting Wales. Like, it's brilliant. Like, we're waking up at 4 a.m., you know, last week. It's like, but yeah.
It's slightly off topic, but do the girls know this? Do the girls feel this when you're in that environment? That everyone, you know, there is such a strong love for this team at home and people are getting up at stupid o'clock.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. Like, all the messages of support, like, honestly, like, it's huge. You saw that from the, like, shout out to all the families and friends that came out to the Rugby World Cup last year. Honestly, we had, you know, the Barmy Army. We literally had, like, the Welsh Army. Like, it was fantastic, like a red wall. It was amazing. And today at the game, you could see, like, I saw a shout out for Aberaeron RFC, like Welsh flags, people in the Welsh shirts. And then, you know, people that can't be there, the messages, you know, on social media and stuff like that, like people can feel it 100%.
But I think the identity, and you could probably say fan base now for this team, is new almost. So we've always had, even when, you know, back in my day, Carol, those players, families, friends that would travel. And at sometimes that'd be pretty much it. And maybe, you know, a guy walking his dog type of thing. But now they've got a fan base of people that never played or don't know them personally. Like, that's new, isn't it? Do they feel that? They feel they've got this incredible.
But you can only, like, if you're selling out Cardiff Arms Park with 8,000 people, like, you can feel, like, honestly, the Ireland game in this Six Nations. So it was the first time, it was our first home game in the Six Nations versus Ireland. And afterwards, we had a pitch invasion, a full on pitch invasion. And at one point, like, it was like signatures, photos, like, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing to... It was actually a little bit overwhelming because you're like, I was like, where's my mum? I just want to give my mum a hug.
Like, it's new, right?
That's new. There's pros and cons to that specific scenario, but you could see the support, you could feel the support, and everyone, like, people know your names, people want to have photos with you. And it's not just, you know, young girls, it's young boys, it's adults, like you're becoming well-known names. People knowing your names, which is completely different. And I think the big thing from that is consistency and being able to watch the game. That is massive. So having it accessible on TV, on stream, is huge. Because the amount of times back in the day that I'd be like, "Mam, you've got to go on BBC Sport and you've got to go down here and try and find it," and she'd be like, "Oh, I couldn't find it, Carol. Couldn't watch you. Sorry."
"Mam, you just got to turn up, Mam. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to watch it."
Well, yeah, exactly. You got to turn up. And now it's like consistently, you know, ITV this morning, although they had some of their challenges, but and S4C are superb supporters of it. Like, every game's on S4C, so. Yeah, no, as a player, going back to your question, yes. As a player, you definitely feel it and you feel the growth. And I feel that's where the game's evolving, actually. Like, you can feel the Welsh support behind you and fans turning up, which is just amazing. So keep it up.
Yeah, massive shout out to the supporters and the ones that get up at 6 o'clock as well, or 4 o'clock. But don't just watch it in isolation. They join the conversation on social. They want to be part of it, even though they might not know somebody who's actually playing personally. There's this brand identity and this journey that people are buying into. So, you know, the supporters, the fans and listeners of this pod, and, you know, what we want to try and do is just, you know, amplify that as well. Everybody in the game has a part to play. So congratulations to everybody that's been involved, from, you know, the WRU, the players, the coaches, right through to people in grassroots that are, you know, volunteering and doing their part on the weekend, up to people that are, again, up at 6 o'clock, I guess, and watching the game and trying to amplify it on social as well.
Yeah, on that note, actually, I'd like to give a shout out. So really sad news coming from WRU this week. And Karen Oatley, who was one of the security team at the WRU, she'd be like a welcoming mum at the at the NCE, and unfortunately passed away this week. The girls had black armbands on, but she is a prime example of 100% behind us, behind the girls, like absolute superstar, and just loved every player. And yeah, like 100% they were playing for her today as well. Like, she was just a superstar, absolute superstar. And just like epitomized like what it was to be to like a Welsh fan kind of thing, but not even a fan. Oh, yeah. Like, she's part of the bloody family. Like, yeah. she's just an absolute superstar. So shout out for her, because she's an absolute legend. And sympathies to the family. Gosh, like, we're 100% with you. Like, our thoughts are with you.
Oh, Carol, very emotional. I'll let you compose yourself. We'll jingle out to you for a minute and we'll just go do some news on the clubs.
Nice.
Grab yourself a tissue, Cam. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Oh, bless. Right, I was wondering what that was for. I don't think I ever met her. But I'm just going to do a little something on the clubs, give a shout out to everybody back out playing this week. So you compose yourself a minute and I'll just announce what's happening. Club games are back on this week, Sunday, 5th of November, which is, oh gosh, what day are we now? Friday. Still all over the place. I'm in my fourth sitting position, have you noticed? I moved from the table to the sofa, now I'm on the floor.
I get to know your house, I am.
Welsh Premiership is back on Sunday. If you can get down and support, get down there. Hopefully this storm does one and we can get all these games played. Massive amounts of opportunity for women to play this weekend. I hope they take inspiration from this WFV1 and go out on Sunday, fulfill all their matches and have some incredibly fun, exciting rugby. And we'll share the results on Twitter as they come in.
Best of luck, guys.
Yeah. So we'll jingle out of this.
Jingle.
Was some news dropping between the two pods of Llantwit Fhadra Rugby Club creating a women's youth team. Now, I'm under the impression the Seven Sisters had a youth team back in the day, but this is new again. So kind of Llantwit Fhadra have taken control of the situation for their girls and they've created a youth team. They're really excited about it. They're promoting it a lot. We tried to get somebody on the pod, but we couldn't make it happen. So we managed to get a recording sent in. So this is new for us. We haven't done this before, but through the magic of editing, Gab, let's hear what Llantwit Fhadra got to say.
There's lots of good things happening in women's and girls rugby now in Wales. The female hub system has seen a growth in players. Our experience is that we have lots of girls coming through in the younger age groups of under 8s and under 10s and under 12s. It has been the case for a while that all female hubs have a drop in player numbers when contact and tackling is introduced, but we are still doing well with our under-14s team. After that, it gets very challenging. Just as in the men's and boys' game, player numbers continue to drop off as you reach the age of 15 and above. As the starting positions of player numbers and female hubs is lower to begin with, those issues are then amplified for girls. So when a player reaches the under-18s, we have seen that girls migrate to some of the more historical larger hubs, where they have lots and lots of players in order to guarantee getting a team out on the field come game time. This means it's boom or bust for hubs at older age teams. Either you have lots of players and can't give them all game time, or none. What's been missing also is the youth rugby experience. Ask any senior men's players what's the best years of their rugby life has been, and almost all will say youth rugby. That hasn't been the case for girls up to now, but why should boys have all the fun? So we are starting a women's youth team instead of the female hub under 18s team. It fits in with the landscape of other WRU under 18s girls team, but we will do things differently. The team will run exactly as the men's youth team. They will have access to the same resources, kit and equipment as men's youth gear. They will also be a proper youth team and just as integral to the club future as the men's youth. And to make sure the players get the real youth experience, there will be social events every single week, often jointly with the men's youth team, as well as end of season tour to Torremolinos, which is already booked. To make sure we are a success on and off the field, we have a number of very experienced coaches and volunteers. We will have close connections with our senior women's team with some joint training session to pave the way for the future setup, as well as senior players being able to give youth players each to mentor. We have teamed up with Colleague Cymoedd to work together to maximise opportunities for girls to train and play rugby in the area and to share resources and skills. We're very excited to get started. All the information is on our social media pages if anyone is interested.
There we go. That's different, eh?
That's, that's amazing. Well done. So also wanted to say best luck to, or best wishes to Filu, who had an operation this week. So she's on the rehab journey. So she's been smashing it so far. And her and the crew, to be honest, the rehab crew. There's a few girls who are out injured at the moment, you know, working really hard at the moment. So Courtney Key, Fee Lewis, Gwen Crabb, Natalia John, you know, they'll bolster our squad. And sorry if I've missed anybody. Like, it's really tough being in that injured space. But what I can see, like, they're doing amazing stuff in different ways. So, like, Gwen and Fee have started their own podcast, you know, talking about kind of...
Have they?
Yeah.
Let's give it a shout out. Let's amplify their voices.
Brilliant. It's called Say It How It Is, which suits Fee Lew perfectly.
Oh, we should join forces at some point.
Yeah, no, well, we were in discussions. We've had a couple of chats. Gwen Crabb is all over this. So they talk about, Fee Lew recently got diagnosed with endometriosis.
Yes.
If I've said that itis. Right. Itis. And... you know, she went out and went public and went on social media, and the support around it, like, she's just been ambassador about it, basically, and encouraged people to have those conversations. So then that's kind of grown. Similarly, Gwen Crabb is really closely affiliated with Looseheads, the mental health charity, which is advocating for a mental health first aider in each rugby club across the world. So they were like, actually, there's loads of... topics here that we could have conversations about. So, you know, they talk about resilience building when you're injured. Like, they've been amazing ambassadors for the game in a completely different way. They can't play on the pitch, but they're setting up a podcast. So
brilliant. What's that called? One more time, let our listeners know.
Say It How It Is.
Say it out and in. Available on all your leading.
I imagine so. I imagine so.
Cool. We'll connect the socials with ours when this gets released as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Brilliant. That's it. It's girls, it's females promoting females, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like we're all doing and stuff.
And on that note, female promoting females, let's give a shout out to World Rugby League. I messed up last week because my mouth moves faster than my brain. I said they were playing France. They just played France. They play in England. Massive clash with England. They're currently 0-2 against them. There's a lot of familiar faces in there. Let's also back them and give them the support that they deserve.
Next, like where do we move next? Like in Welsh rugby, we've got the Celtic Challenge Cup coming up, which is new. It was new last year. And what it is a tournament between Ireland, Scotland and Wales. And it's, in my mind, it's a bit like the Wales development kind of level. Yeah. So it's like people that are aspiring to play internationally. It's a step up from club. And we're actually going to have two teams this year in Wales. So
brilliant.
There'll be an East team and a West team. And I think there's opportunities to kind of put your name forward, or kind of there'll be trials or opportunities for clubs to put names forward and stuff at the moment. So make sure you find out a bit about it if you are interested.
And I guess this is the only pathway for women in Wales. There won't be, and we've heard categorically, there will not be regional women's teams. There'll only be regional under-18s, possibly under-20s, I'm not sure. But they will not be senior women's rugby. So this is the only pathway. If you're playing in Wales and not in the English Prem, this is your time to put your hands up and not just, you know, or maybe send one or two. You know, if there's talent there, let's send them on, you know, in volume, because we've got to show WRU there is appetite and there is talent and there is something happening in Wales that they can invest in. So play your games on a Sunday. I know I bleep on about it. I apologise. Play your games on a Sunday. Get down to these talent ID centres. Get down and put your hand up for the opportunity to play in this competition, because there's so much talent out there. This is the only way you'll get exposed to it, to the WRU. And this is how the WRU can see it's worth investing in the product we have. So I'm always going to get kind of political, but absolutely, like, this is something, girls. Go for it.
Yeah, like it's an opportunity. So, you know, you know, you've got to grab it with both hands. And it's exciting. Like, it's competitive, you know, and it's a shop window. Like, it's an opportunity. You know, play well in the Celtic Challenge, there's opportunity to get into that Six Nations squad or the extended squad to start off with. And, you know, if you've got aspirations for that, gosh, this is your chance. Go for it.
Yeah. Good stuff. That brings us on then, after that competition, we're into the Six Nations.
Yes.
It's going to fly by before we know it.
Oh, God. 27th of March, first game versus Scotland at home. You know,
let's get there.
Oh, it's massive. Like, us against Scotland is always massive. Like, they've got some beef against us from that Rugby World Cup. Like, that first pool game where we, you know, clinch it with a Ciara Beavan penalty,
Remember that.
And then, you know, all stakes were on, like, a really competitive game in the Six Nations just gone. I think it's always down to the last 10 minutes on you know, who wins that game.
And they're coming off the back of winning WSV2, so confidence is going to be high there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, the support, like, we had sellout crowds last year, like, same again.
Yeah.
Let's really, like, take it to them and make it a hostile place for Scotland.
I'm going to caveat that. The reason we had a sellout crowd is because English fans and English supporters came in massive numbers, because sometimes it's easier for them to get to Cardiff than it is to Twickenham or whatever else England are playing, right? So we had that record crowd, yes, but we were helped by England. Let's do that ourselves this year. Let's have a record Welsh crowd down at the Arms Park for that Scotland game. Carol, are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there, 100%.
I'm going to be there. And we expect everybody else, all two of our listeners, to be there. And we'll pack it out. So to wrap up this pod, Carol, how are you feeling following the WXB1 and rolling into the Six Nations?
you know, today was an opportunity, like we could have clinched, but we've 100% seen like the growth from it, growth from the opportunity of the tournament, and growth from players, new players coming into the squad. I'm excited. I'm excited for that Six Nations. God, it makes me want to be like, right, let's go with the Six Nations. So
you're organising a bus.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm optimistic. This team is fearless now. We've played everyone we need to play. We've played everyone higher than us. It's about going to the Six Nations full of confidence and going for that at least second spot, right?
That is the goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, third 2 years in a row, that's the next thing. And now we're in that top tier competition. So,
yeah.
Come on.
Come on. Karel, fi wedi mwynhau. We need a pod yma, gyda ti. I really enjoyed doing this pod with you. Thank you for joining the hosting team. Who knows, we might be all back together for the Six Nations and that will be chaotic. But thank you so much for breathing new life and energy into our pod and getting us on the air.
Oh, it's been awesome. Anything to promote like the women's game and to keep the message and the momentum. So, yeah, no, it's been really good fun. Cheers.
Yes. Thank you all for listening.
Diolch yn fawr.
Bye.
Bye.